Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hey, Matt, didn't Bryce Harper come back months early from a rotator cuff?
I think I remember seeing that, yeah.
It's amazing what real stars do. Okay, today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, and a fabulous service department that backs it all up every step of the way at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. With that, we bring in the outstanding Ryan Snyder from On3.com. Sir, welcome.
Steve, good to talk to you. Hope your summer is going well. It is a dead period now, which means we can catch our breath over here on the recruiting side of things, at least for now, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Exactly, because I was going to bring that up right away. First of all, the month of June, starting with 2021, when they allowed on-campus visits again, the month of June has been terrific for Penn State. Was it that way again in June 23?
Well, terrific in results. I think if you ask Penn State's recruiting staff, it's anything but terrific. It's more hectic and needs change. But
oh, yeah. No, I understand.
I know.
But the results.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's the results.
Right. Right. Now, seven commitments, right? I mean, that's great, and that's what you're trying to get out of it when you have almost 50 official visitors and everything else that goes on. You know, of course, multiple camps. Penn State, one of the guys they got, Peter Gonzalez, wide receiver out of Central Catholic, I think, he's one of the main storylines of June, and him coming to Penn State's camp. And, you know, this is a kid coming off an ACL injury. Everyone knew, you know, from a character perspective and what they've seen in previous years before the injury, that he had everything that you needed to be a star at this level. But you know, could he recover from that? And sure enough, you know, kid comes out and absolutely crushes it for a few days, multiple camps, excuse me, over the last month or two. So, you know, between Peter Gonzalez, Josiah Brown in New York, you have Tysier Denmark, who they flipped, a kid from Philadelphia who, you know, committed to Oregon at one point. Then flip to Penn State. You know, Penn State, they get their three main receivers. We'll see if any others hop on board. And then you get the defensive tackles going there and Xavier Gilliam and DeAndre Cook. So Penn State's really happy with the way it turned out. Now, with that said, there's been a few guys over the last couple weeks who have kind of gotten away. And, flat out, it feels like NIL's been a massive part of that. So there's ups and downs with that. And, you know, they have another big commitment coming up this weekend here in Malachi Williams, who they expect to land. But then you got Benedict Ume, who may be going to Stanford. There's a lot of twists and turns going on right now. So it's an interesting time to follow all this.
Yeah, and I know James has – look, James wants to be top 10 in everything. And this is not me guessing at it. This is him and me talking about it. And that means top 10 in NIL. Now, I know when you talk to prospects, you're just trying to get a read on what they're doing, what they're thinking. In any of these conversations that you have, is NIL ever broached on your part with them or their part with you?
Usually more so with parents, honestly. And I think kids are kind of still uncomfortable talking about it, if that makes sense. Now, if you read stories, you won't see us talk about it a ton, just because, again, like, people don't want to put out details and things like that. You know, if you read our notebooks, you read the message boards more, we talk about it way more in those kind of settings.
Sure.
But parents open up about it more, and a lot of the times it's parents defending Penn State and saying, hey, you know, all I hear all the time is Penn State's not doing well, and they're happy with what their kids are receiving. But then you have others who, you know, are hearing numbers down south that are quite honestly double and triple, you know, what they get from not even just Penn State, but a lot of the northern schools, we'll say, a lot of the Big Ten schools.
Sure.
And that's having a big impact on guys. I mean, there are players down south right now who, I mean, there's a couple of SEC schools, I'll say, who are offering guys $300,000 a year, you know, for as a freshman. You know, guys who aren't going to play.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So Penn State has a good tiered system, and I think a lot of schools admire the way they're doing it. You know, they're taking care of guys who absolutely produce on the field. You know, they're making sure everybody gets a cut, too. And I think it's a very admirable way, and it's a smart way. And I think in a couple of years from now, more and more schools are going to see this is the way to do it.
Right.
But to get there, you're going to have some growing pains, because other schools are saying, "Hey, we don't care what you do year one. You know, here's $150,000 or more."
That's right. And that's part of it. There's no question about that. Look, the rules are what they are right now, and I think what James wants is like, "Hey, look, until there are parameters in order to compete to be in the top 10, which of course put you in a position to be in the college football playoffs starting next year, he feels they've got to be top 10 in the weight room, top 10 in the classroom, and top 10 in NIL.
For sure. And I think they've caught up when it comes to facilities. You know, James will always say there's more to do, and there is, of course, more to do. But, you know, everything else there, you know, they've landed quite a few guys still because of education, you know, because of what Penn State brings.
Sure.
Either they always will do excellent when it comes to relationships and those things. But this seems to be the one hurdle still that is tripping them up. I mean, there's been, I'm not going to put names out there, but there's been certainly a handful of guys here over the last couple weeks that we thought they're absolutely leaning towards Penn State. You know, the kids flat out said they're leaning towards Penn State. And then, you know, what we see often is NIL and just the flat-out specifics, the details of the money that's involved, it's brought up throughout the recruiting process, but those details, the actual numbers, are usually saved to the end. And especially when schools know that they're not winning, especially when schools know, hey, we got to do more if we're gonna get this guy. So, you know, it's often the case where you do everything right for, you know, some of these recruitments are 500 plus days, you know, over 2 years.
Right.
You'll do everything right 99% of the way, but at the end, you know, money just flat out wins out. So, you know, we'll see. It's you know, there's a reason James put that tweet out the other day, you know, asking, you know, bringing up, you know, donating to their collective and stuff. I mean, there's no coincidence with that timing.
And
there's,
no,
you know,
right.
A lot of guys are about to decide right now. So,
right, absolutely. You can recruit, and I think you can sign as many as you want as long as you stay at 85 or under. It seems like a common sense move. This is not what they're noted for. But it's a common sense move, right, Ryan?
Right, for sure. I mean, I was talking with somebody the other day who, They were bringing up the 70 official visit number, right, and how that needed to be improved because of the transfer portal. And this is a little off topic what you're saying, but basically what I was talking to somebody who was like, yeah, we started suggesting this 2 years ago, you know, and it took them 600, 700, 800 days to take what we first suggested and to put it into motion. So, I mean, things are slowly starting to change. There's a lot of things, though, too, with the whole oversight committee and the modernization committee that is making it, you know, better for the players. I mean, they're looking out for the players as far as freedom of movement and things like that, but they're making it a lot more difficult on coaching staffs as well. So there's just a massive balancing act here trying to get sorted out, and more often than not, they're falling in the favor of the players, which is good, right? I mean, I mean, I was a student, right? I could do whatever I want once I was a student. So we want those athletes to be able to have that freedom that many other students have, but it's also causing headaches for people in the different support staffs. And, hey, look, it's a major reason why a lot of people throughout Division I football right now are saying, hey, screw this, let's go to the NFL.
Right.
I mean, there is a massive amount of people over the last 4 or 5 years who are just kind of sick of it. So we'll see. Fortunately, Penn State hasn't had that issue, but we see it at a lot of other schools.
When I've talked to Alan Zamaitis, I talked to him about the ability to stack classes, right? And it's not just stacking back-to-back ones, but stack together 3, 4, 5. Is this 2024 class, especially what they've been able to do in Pennsylvania, allowing Penn State to stack classes?
For sure. For sure. I mean, especially what's funny, you know, obviously Alan does defense, but what was he? You know, he was a defensive back here. And I think, man, the defensive back classes in the last couple of years have been awesome. And this is one that's going to rank right up there with three excellent cornerbacks. You know, you have the two kids down at Mandarin in Jacksonville, John Mitchell and Antoine Bogave Shorter. You have Kenny Wosley, who I think is still one of the more underrated players in this class. And then you have two excellent safeties, Babu Toure, DeJuan Lane. So, you know, when you look at the defensive backs, you can really make that claim. And certainly you can make this claim at almost every position, really. I think offensive line, though, is the other one that really stands out to me. You know, they signed four-star or five-star players last year. Of course, Damon Williams was a five-star player. And now this year, they have another they have four true offensive linemen. We'll see what they do with Caleb Brewer. I expect Caleb Brewer to be an offensive lineman, but, you know, there's been talk that he could play defense, too. And, you know, you look at Garrett Sexton, you know, 6'7", tackle who can really move. You got Egan Boyer, who's 6'8", can really move. You know, there's been one common theme that we've really seen with the offensive line, and that's that they got to get bigger, they got to get stronger. They've always done a good job at finding guys who are athletic, but now they want to get the cream of the crop, right? Those guys who are a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and, oh, by the way, can move as well. So when I look at this year's class and recent years, I certainly can make a strong argument for offensive line, defensive back, of course running back too. I think fans already know that running back and tight end and a few other spots are just always going to be excellent at Penn State. But really, I think offensive line is where they've been doing it the best, especially the last 2 years. And, you know, we'll see what they do in the future.
How many more can Penn State take?
Ooh, good question. I mean, I'll tell you what, if everything fell perfectly, right, and you know, obviously they've missed out on some guys, but say some of those guys change their mind down the road, I think they could really take almost 30 or so if they really, really wanted to.
Yeah.
Now, do I see it getting that high? Probably not. I'd still lean towards 27 or so, maybe 28 as being kind of the realistic number. But, you know, as things progress and more guys commit elsewhere, you kind of have to wait then towards the end to see which coaches end up, you know, getting fired and players' movement and all that. And when you get to that stage in the process, too, you kind of bring in the transfer portal and the whispers of which guy may be leaving which school. So, you know, right now I still kind of have it. They have 21 commitments at the moment. I would still see another 5 to 6 more. Feels like a safe number. Mm-hmm. But, man, if some of those top guys who've gotten away over the last couple months, you know, decide to flip at the end, which, you know, we just saw with Tyler Denmark.
Sure.
They won't hesitate on stacking talent because they know, hey, look, you know, not only do they have a good amount of guys leaving this year for eligibility reasons, but, you know, you have an Olu probably going to the NFL. I mean, let's be honest, he's definitely going to the NFL, or he should at least.
Sure.
You got Kalen King in there. You got Chop Robinson. You know, they're going to have quite a few guys after this year probably depart. So this is a year where they can certainly stack up on talent. And then, you know, because you have some of those talented guys leaving too, I think it's also a year where they could be a little more aggressive in the transfer portal.
On the TV part, what got you so interested in that?
You know, well, first off, Steve, as someone who was one of my teachers back in the day, obviously that's what I wanted to study, got into. You know, obviously I did radio and different things like that, but I was broadcasting back in the day. So I've always just been interested in just the finances of that realm, and you know, there was definitely a point in my life where I wanted to get into some sort of broadcasting. Well, I'm actually a broadcaster myself. I don't know, Steve, you were my teacher. I don't know if that was going to be my calling down the road, but
you would have been fine.
But just I just think it's an interesting. I'm always just interested in the money, and you know, the appeal of it. And look, I mean, as things have gone on over last year with cable and all that stuff, I mean, sports are the one thing that are not dying, and they're not showing any signs of dying. And you can absolutely make the case. You look at Netflix and some of these other streaming sites who want to get into sports. I mean, it's I don't want to say it's something you don't lose money on, right? Because there's probably examples out there of different contracts where they don't benefit. But man, I mean, there's a reason there all these companies are paying millions and billions of dollars for these television rights. So I don't know. I've always been into it. I have a good friend or two who work at some certain places too, which is, you know, obviously where we can get some information and report on those TV times and things like that we've done over the years. But you know, if there was one thing that could get me away from my current job, you know, if I was able to work in that, you know, some sort of sports broadcasting and, you know, those different contracts and even the advertising that goes around it, that's always something I've always liked.
Well, I mean, let's face it. One of the reasons NIL is so prominent right now is people are looking at not only how many bodies are in seats,
right. But
they're also looking at the size of these television contracts. And that's one of the reasons why people realistically look at it and say, well, why aren't the players getting some of that? Because these are not, I mean, $70 to $100 million a year per school is not a small number.
No, there's going to be a big balancing act, too. I mean, I think that's why, you know, you hear collective bargaining more and more. You keep hearing it just a little bit louder and a little bit louder from different people within different programs. And I don't know, Steve, it feels inevitable to me someday. Whether that's going to be in the near future or down the road, we'll see. But I still kind of think NIL is just the start of it.
I mean, there are a lot of people that do not want the NCAA solution of the federal government. That's why they're talking collective bargaining. I think one of the interesting caveats to really take a long look at will be when the new college football playoff contract comes up in 2 years. Will that include payments to players to play in the playoff?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something to watch for.
Yeah. For sure. You know, I'm still incredibly interested in seeing what this Pac-12 deal is. Because, man, this has dragged on for 4 or 5 months now. You know, this feels like, I mean, to me, I was listening to, you know, Marshan Oren's podcast. Those guys are great.
Yep.
If any fans are into
yep.
sports business, I highly suggest that podcast. And
We've had them both on the show.
Yeah, they're awesome. And just, you know, I don't remember if it was them or it was maybe one of the other ones. But anyway, I was listening to one of the sports broadcasting ones the other day. And, you know, to me, I just feel like the Pac-12 TV contract, it's not the biggest thing in all of sports. You know, you got the NBA coming up. You got some other things out there. But to me, it is just because of the ripple effects of how it can change college football. We've already seen a lot of that change. But man, there's just something has to be going on. You know, the fact that this hasn't kind of come out yet and it still keeps getting dragged on. And, you know, just when that number comes out, and then, of course, as you said, the CFP contract down the road, we're just at a tipping point here, man. And I don't think we're done. I really see maybe it won't be this summer, maybe it'll be next or the following. But you know, it's gonna be difficult with those ACC schools. I don't know what they're gonna end up doing, but I just think we're still just kind of getting started with this realignment issue. And what college football is going to look like at the end of this decade and what it looks like right now, I don't know if it's going to be as recognizable as the general fan thinks it's going to be.
Yeah, well, the Pac-12 is vulnerable until they get that TV deal. Texas and Oklahoma having to pay $50 million each just to get out of the last year of the Big 12, the last year of the Big 12. Is a message to the ACC that you're stuck for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I mean, simple. I mean, no kidding. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's grant of rights plus exit fee money. When you got till 2036, how big is the number you have to come up with?
Hundreds of millions. I mean, I thought I saw something with like 200 plus or something like that. I mean, maybe even more. I don't know. But
you are going nowhere fast. You are going nowhere fast. You can posture all you want. Okay. I got a piece of paper that says you signed it. Okay. So
for sure.
Big problem. Ryan, thanks so much. As always, enjoy the dead period.
Yeah, it'll be quiet for a week or two here. But yeah, hey, we got Lash Bash at the end of the month. Penn State has another camp coming up at the end of the month. So, you know, things are going to pick up fast. This feels like the last, like, 2 weeks or so with no college football. And, man, media days will be here before you know it. And West Virginia, 7:30 kickoff. Everybody going nuts at Beaver Stadium. It'll be here before you know it.
Thanks, my friend. Appreciate you.
Take care, Steve. Talk to you soon.
Ryan Snyder on 3.com.